Parallel Times. I'm excited to be doing an interview with Megan Green.
Thank you.
Of Patmos. And we are here at the Replatform Conference in Las Vegas. So we're coming to you from Las Vegas.
Yes.
And I've been excited to meet Megan and learn about Patmos. And we're going to jump in.
Sounds good. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, you're welcome. And Megan, your role with Patmos is?
I am the Vice President of Customer Success.
Great. So what is Patmos company?
Patmos, first and foremost, is a web hosting cloud infrastructure company. So we provide web hosting infrastructure, backups and disaster recovery, cybersecurity solutions. But we also have a custom development shop. So we also do web and mobile application development and custom software development.
Okay, great. And can you tell the story a little bit about Patmos?
Yeah.
And how it arose and why this is part of the freedom
sure.
economy?
So Patmos was founded in 2021, actually through the analogous conjunction of two separate companies. I worked for a company called Green Egg Media. They were a software development agency based in Denver, and they had been in business since 2008. And we worked with a company called Petros LLC, which was actually founded by John Johnson, who is our now CEO. And when we worked together, we had a shared client in the news space. Specifically, they were in the religious news space.
Mm-hmm.
And through just an oddball set of circumstances, they were targeted for cancellation by their existing web host.
Mm-hmm.
And they weren't target rich. There was really no reason for the target. And so what we did is we turned around and realized we have to help them. It's important that their voice stays online. And so what we did is we turned around and we actually rented rack space in a co-located rack space in another data center. And we bought all the hardware and we became their web host to keep them online.
Mm-hmm.
And we kind of proceeded as normal. That was 2021. We kind of carried on for a little bit. And agency life is just notoriously difficult. It's kind of a feast or famine mentality. It's difficult to, especially in the city of Denver, it's a very expensive place to live. And because agency life is kind of feast or famine, it's difficult to be competitive and bring in and retain the top development talent when you have people down the street from you in downtown Denver or in the Denver Tech Center who are multi-million dollar organizations or even nearly billion dollar organizations where they can pay, you know, exorbitantly for that higher tier talent.
Mm-hmm.
So we're really sitting there kind of analyzing what is the future of this agency while simultaneously the founder of Green Egg Media and John of Petros LLC, they were working together on this shared client that had been canceled. They were still working through kind of Patmos as it stood. And then we all kind of came together and said, this is the future. Like if they got canceled,
mm-hmm.
and actually this was John's idea, so I can't take credit for it, or Lance's idea. He was the founder of Green Egg Media.
Mm-hmm.
They came together and said, this is a problem and we can provide the solution to that problem. And
mm-hmm.
so we closed the doors of Green Egg Media and all of the staff came over to Patmos. John closed the doors of Petros LLC and he came on board as our CEO.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really the birth of Patmos.
That's great. And John gave a talk today at the conference and he was talking about the word Patmos. and the history of that, mm-hmm. is that something you can share a little bit about?
Yeah, so it's anyone who has read the Bible will know the story of how the book of Revelation was written. Saint John, his message was loosely, you know, continually tried to be canceled. They actually sentenced him to death and they couldn't kill him. And they exiled him to the island of Patmos. And even through that exile, he was still able to get his message out to the masses. And so even in that sense, he was deplatformed by the world and he was exiled, and yet his message remained and it became the book of Revelation.
Mm.
And so it's not only like a divine providence, but it's also just very fitting for what we're doing. We are not named Patmos randomly.
No, indeed. So part of what I loved about this is that for those who are familiar with my checklist and blueprint for leaving the matrix and joining parallel society, one of the sections in there is technology and how we're going to migrate our technology so that we can keep using our technology in service to humanity, which is something that John talked about today in his talk. And yet we have to do that in a way that we remain free. And I mentioned in the checklist that I haven't come across a lot of hosting services that are doing that. So when I came and met you guys at this conference, I was really excited because I feel like this is so essential. I mean, we all depend now on getting out our information about what we do on the internet and digitally. And so if our voice gets censored digitally, then we can't do our work anymore. We have to be able to be in touch with each other that way. So having a company that provides censorship-free hosting and web development services is very essential to the freedom of the world. I feel like it's quite an important mission.
Right. So the interesting thing about cancel culture is not necessarily the messages themselves being canceled. It's the fact that these organizations have stepped in to become the arbiter of what is and isn't allowed to be online without any basis of authority. And so there are obviously situations where the message that's being canceled is illegal, where the message that's being canceled is, there is a warrant legally to cancel that message. But what we see
Child
more,
pornography, for
right,
example.
and before that reason, Patmos won't host pornography. And it's not even a morality clause. We don't do it for any other, philosophical reason. We do it because the line between what is and isn't legal in pornography is, it's too gray, and it's not up to us to discern what is and isn't legal in that space. So we, in our terms and conditions, we will not host pornography, and we obviously will comply with all federal and state laws as are applicable, and we don't host anything that is outright illegal. We are just as much selective about our client base as our client gets to be about us. And so we get to pick and choose also. We're not actively targeting extremes on both sides. However, we believe that voices and opinions have a right to be heard and that the individual gets to choose how they respond to it. It is not up to a hosting company, a tech company, a domain registrar. It is not up to YouTube. It is not up to any of these organizations to say your voice does not have a place on the internet unless it crosses that legal barrier.
That's very cool. And the fact that this came out of a company being canceled for having a message that wasn't, was it that the government didn't like it? No, it was the big tech company
It
didn't like
was,
the message.
I don't actually know the entirety of the specifics of this story, so I want to just be respectful of not speaking something that is
Not
potentially
correct.
incorrect. I was not their account manager, so I don't know enough of the details, but I do know that the target that was put on their back was not put there with any level of justification.
Okay, great to know. So, oh, and I meant to show just for, and we'll put this as a lower third also on here, but this is, there, let's get it straight. This is the company's name, t-shirt I get to take home, Patmos. So, there we go. So tell us a little bit more about the services that Patmos provides. You gave us kind of the quickie thumbnail in the beginning, but when you and I were chatting about my own web hosting situation, and you talked a little bit about how people might move from what they have now, not just their hosting service, but actually their web design, like what it's built on, that you can rebuild people's websites for them and you can integrate e-commerce. So can you tell us a little bit more about those
Yeah.
things?
So just to kind of also circle back to the beginning, after Patmos saved that client from deletion, we merged the companies, we became Patmos in and of itself. A few months later, we actually had the opportunity to purchase the data center that we rented that rack space in. And so we did. So we wholly own and operated that data facility. And then several months later, we actually had the opportunity to make an additional acquisition. So now we own three data facilities, which allows us to provide infrastructure from the ground up. So we can do bare metal, colocation, DETI, cloud, VPS solutions. So those are all typically what the people who use those services are in IT, but we are able to cater to businesses of all sizes in those. What is great and what makes us unique in this is that in addition to those services, we can also provide the ability to develop and manage and maintain the development solutions. So whether that's a WordPress website, a expression engine, Craft CMS, whatever CMS that someone comes to us with, if they want something more custom like React or Node, we can do that as well. Then we can also do web and mobile application development, which is really, it allows our users and our customers to reduce the amount of hands in their technical pot. Because anyone who has worked with IT knows that sometimes it's the simplest change that brings down the entire system. If you've ever played that game Jenga, you just kind of you push and push and push until eventually it crashes. Well, with the technology, it's a period where you need a comma. It's a one where you need a zero, because at the end of the day, all of the data becomes ones and zeros, and then it gets spit back out into the world as words and images and pictures. But we have the ability to help reduce the amount of hands in the pot, which reduces the risk for our clients that somebody is going to go in and mess something up. So we can basically create what we call a verticalized infrastructure, starting with the bottom at the most bare, low, sorry, at the lowest level of the server, and build up onto what is an amazing, beautifully customer-facing application that allows them to do business.
Okay, and then for those of us, or those out there who aren't so technical, it sounds like you can work with small companies that maybe don't have huge budgets to build their websites. Can you give us an idea of what the range is for if somebody wants to come, say they say they have their website on some proprietary platform we won't name that is turnkey. And they say, well, I'm concerned about who owns that company, or I'm concerned about it being canceled when I have a certain number of viewers, or I'm concerned about whatever, but I'm just getting started. And so I don't have a big budget. Like, how could I rebuild my website with you guys and have you host it for me? Maybe I have a little store where I sell t-shirts or whatever that's got my branding stuff on it. Can you like make it real simple for those who aren't
So
engineers?
there are a lot of kind of cookie cutter drag and drop interfaces with names we're not going to mention today, where it's a DIY website. And there are some really amazing things that can come out of those because they're low cost and they're really, in theory, easy to use. They are, however, very difficult to scale. And they are often difficult to really get your brand's personality out in within the confines of the box that they put you in. And so what we can do is, starting at about $5,000, we can take that content, and as if they have the design already, so if they have their brand identity already taken care of, we can take that and drop it into a not quite turnkey, but a faster turnaround than a completely custom build. We can get them started in a website that is positioned to grow with them over time. We typically do that in WordPress, which is, it is not a proprietary solution. So it is a stopgap. It is certainly it adds an element of potential risk in the cancellation space. The risk might be lower, but it is still that risk is present. So it's important to note that.
Mm-hmm.
Allowing that business, though, to break free from the confines of this box, grow into a slightly bigger box, in the hope that over time and in shorter order, they're able to grow into a box that puts them in a completely custom proprietary solution where they are able to maintain more of that control and reduce the risk even further.
Okay. And in those custom solutions, can they still manage the back end of their website?
Most of the time they can. There are certain types of builds where they just have to be very clear with us how much of the content management do you want to manage, how much control of the visual assets do you want to manage versus how much do you want just built into the page. It's we call it hard-coded.
Right.
Much do you want built in there that you can't touch and you need a developer to work with. So this is where it's just important for us to communicate with the client. How hands-on do you want to be? How frequently do you expect content changes? And we will build that intentionally for them. Everything that we do on the proprietary side is purpose-built for that client. We build for now, and we also build for the future. So it's important that the foundation and the overarching goals of the company are aligned. Because if we don't know where you want to be in 3 to 5 years, we're going to build a foundation that gets you through tomorrow. It's really important that we build a foundation that's going to live for a long time. You don't want a house that sinks into the swamp in 3 days. You want a house that stands firm on the rock and is able to support you for years to come.
Right. Because I know that, I mean, I feel like that's a big thing that's changed in the web world, is that it used to be, back when, feels like in the dinosaur era of websites, but when I manage websites for companies, that we were going back to the companies to make the changes to the website. And now everybody wants a website that they can manage themselves, because things change. You know, you might have to make multiple changes to your website every day. And so that whole thing of having a content management system that somebody who's not a software developer can do, but it sounds like you can work with that with people.
Yeah. Almost all of our clients manage all of their own content. We do have a couple of clients that are on a fully managed solution where they call us and they say, hey, I need you to change this, or I need you to change this. And it's just built into a part of their maintenance package that they can have some content management support in there. It's not, we don't have very many of those, but it is there.
Right. Well, then I would think with the larger companies that they would have a department internally that was doing that anyway. So if they're just outsourcing it to you guys, I'm kind of thinking more about the small businesses that might be getting started in the freedom space, where people are leaving a job with a corporation or a whoever, and they're starting their own business so that they have control over it. And part of it is that they need a website with a safe host. So, okay, great. So how do you think, this is kind of a more philosophical question, but how do you think this type of service fits in with the creation of a parallel economy that's not controlled by the big three we've been talking about, not controlled by the media, not controlled by the government, and not controlled by... What's the other third one? I always forget. But anyway,
we always like the corporations, big tech.
Corporations, big tech. So not controlled by the media, not controlled by the governments, and not controlled by big tech. So how do you think that this service fits in with that?
So I think there's actually a lot to unpack in that question there, because the concept of the parallel economy is, when you think, if you think about it visually, it's two economies that run literally parallel to one another. So there's parity on both sides, but they run parallel basically for all of time. But what I think, what I personally think, so this is not a representation of Patmos, what I think is that there is less of a need for a completely separated parallel economy, and more of a need of people to be able to have options, because what's happened is that, take a pair of pants, for instance. If you walk into a major chain department store, you're going to find at minimum 5 different brands of jeans. And there are different things that make each one of those sets of genes interesting or appealing to that specific consumer. Well, what's happening in business right now is that we are getting less and less options in the space because the majority of the companies are all kind of following suit. The consumer has the choice with the pants, that they know what's great about those pants as a commodity. But then they also have four other brands to choose from if they don't like the message, if they don't like the stance, if they don't like whatever values-based system that particular brand has put in the pants pocket. And we should have the freedom to be able to choose to work with organizations that either align with our mission or that provide something in a different way that is more meaningful for us. And so for us, it's not necessarily exclusively about being a part of the parallel economy, although I love the idea of being able to be a part of an economy that is based on freedom. But it's freedom to choose, it's freedom to speak, it's freedom to be, and it's the freedom of humanity exists inside of what this parallel economy is. But on the much bigger picture, it's about giving people choices so that they can look into the marketplace for hosting providers and they can say, I don't want to work with this one because their support is terrible. And I don't want to work with this one because this is their stance on whatever philosophical thing matters to that person at that moment. Or I don't want to work with this one because they offshore all of their talent. For every individual has something that kind of draws that line in the sand for them. We want to exist in a space that gives them additional choices because that's what we're built to do. And so even though we are falling into the parallel economy, I don't think that's where we're going to live forever as a whole, because at the end of the day, all of these businesses are providing different choices and different options for that person, that business leader, that consumer, that individual to make the choice that's right for them in that moment.
Right. And I would imagine that because Patmos has a good service and a good staff and all of that, that there are going to be people who don't even think about parallel economies or freedom issues or whatever, that just say, this is the right choice for me. And so you guys don't want to be in some box that's just, you know, freedom people, truthers, and parallel economy, because I do think it's all about choices and it's not about separation. It's not about people who leave the mainstream and go over here. We're all always going to be going back and forth. But this is about creating a choice. That's about freedom of speech.
Yes. And what we ultimately want to be known for is Patmos is the refuge from big tech. We are un we do offer censorship-free and cancel-resistant user policies. We make it easy for someone to come onto the island, and once you accept our terms of service, we will not cancel you. We don't just sit and look through people's content to find wrongdoing. We have to trust that there's, you know, some, as long as you agree to not do things illegally or host porn, it's not up to us to arbitrate what someone says online. But what we really hope that people come to us for is that freedom if they need it. But we want to be known for excellent service, great prices. That we get human beings on the phone, that you get amazing support, that you get whatever specific human need met through that level of service. Because even though AI has a great place, you know, it's awesome sometimes to be able to just use a chat bot, say, hey, I have this problem, and you're in and out. There are sometimes just you want to be able to get a human on the phone. We want to make that happen, and that's how we do.
That's great. And that is, it's funny that in this era that customer service is becoming the way I think about customer service. We may have some background noise because we're in Las Vegas and there's somebody out there who's driving really fast.
The strip,
There's
ladies
a
and
strip
gentlemen.
right outside the over there. But customer service, to have really good customer service, it used to be that everybody had someone, a human, on a phone line. And that wasn't a distinguishing factor of good customer service. But now I feel like any company, especially a tech company, where you can call and speak with a human being, is that's like checks my first box because I want to be able to do that.
Yeah, and it goes back to that technology at the service of humans. Behind every business, behind every server that's spun up in one of our data centers, is a human being who's operating it. Or paying for it if they're on a managed service, then we're helping them operate it. But at the behind every business transaction is a human being. And even though that expediency of a ticketing system, the expediency of a chatbot, those are valuable for a lot of people. And so we offer those as well.
Mm-hmm.
But what we want is to be able to offer that extra layer of knowing you can get a human if and when you need it.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that human is me.
That's great. And I'm just flipping and looking at my notes from John's talk because there were a couple of things I just want to reference. He said that he wants to support a more humane vision of what technology is, and that technology should be at the service of the human person, not the human person at the service of technology. So that's really important to me because I don't want to become a slave to technology or to technological corporations or big tech or whatever you want to call it. And he said, for big tech, people are becoming the tool at the service of technology instead of the other way around. So, and that people are becoming reduced to the level of beast or machine.
And so for context with that, for those of you out there, during John's keynote today at the Replatform event, he gave the analogy and basically told the true story of how you can use your hand as the payment method at Whole Foods. So through the Amazon program, you can have whatever technology implemented or installed, I don't know what the correct vernacular is there, into your hand, and you can scan your hand to purchase your apple at Whole Foods.
Mm-hmm.
And while that may be an initial convenience, you're never going to leave your card home again. You never
Right.
have to worry about not having service for your Google Pay or Apple Pay to run the transaction. You don't have to worry about who has Cash App versus who has Venmo. On the surface, what that looks like is modern day convenience.
Mm-hmm.
But what that really is if you've ever experienced, and I think everybody in the world has experienced this at least once, even if it was just an RFID chip error, that your transaction gets declined. You put your card through the machine and it says card declined for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
But what's gonna happen is that when we start having things, and this is John's words from the talk today, is eventually you're going to put your hand up there and it's going to scan and they're going to say that you are declined.
Right.
And so suddenly it's not a matter of the human who controls the money. It's the human is then fit for deletion.
Mm-hmm.
And the human has become commoditized in a way that reduces humans from beings into things.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a dangerously slippery slope.
Very dangerously slippery slope. So it's interesting about how we can take the aspects of technology that do serve humanity and use them well and consciously and with morals and ethics and a higher purpose versus letting them use us.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm very grateful that Patmos has that philosophy and is making this available to people. I don't know. It's there. There's, I can feel the integrity that's behind the brand, and that this is something that's designed. I mean, it's a product and a service, and you are generating profit, and it's in the free marketplace, and it's a capitalist venture, but it's got a huge heart behind it. So that's a good combination.
And what's I think what is the most interesting to me about what we're doing is that the way people view content online, it shifts like a pendulum. And so the way in which people antagonize and poke at and are angry at certain types of content today, that will not be what it is in the future. So Patmos doesn't just target people that we agree with or people that we disagree with. Patmos is a home for anybody. And because eventually that pendulum will shift from, what the current parallel economy is, and that parallel economy will start to shift as the world starts to shift along that pendulum. It's just how it is all the time. And so Patmos provides an island of refuge for everybody, whether we agree with you or not. It's not up to us as a tech company to say your opinion is right or wrong, or your thoughts are valid or invalid. There are other things in play. Obviously, legal is a big one. What is and isn't legal? But no one is free from the consequences of their actions. And that consequence will come in one way, shape, or form, positive or negative consequences. And people individually, as content consumers, will be able to discern what content is right or wrong for them again, instead of having a big tech company tell us what content is right or wrong for us. We are big, to quote my children, we are big-brained thinkers, and it's important for us to reinstill the art of critical thinking into our everyday lives and to be able to shift and question everything. And that was a part of my panel actually yesterday. Question everything. And when you start to question everything, that need for a tech company to arbitrate content will be less and less necessary. But let's be real, it's not necessary at all currently.
Well, it's kind of like I think about a mother bird that goes out and gets the worm and then chooses the worm, chews it up, digests it, and then feeds it to the babies. Well, that might be appropriate at a certain stage of development, but we're adults. We don't need people, pre-digesting all of our content and figuring out what we should have and what we shouldn't have for their agenda, not our agenda. But that's what people have gotten used to. It's like content-wise, in terms of intellectual content, we've all got used to, I shouldn't say all, but the world in general has gotten used to being like baby birds that are just like, tell me what I should think. Feed me my beliefs.
It's an interesting concept because, and we talked about this in my panel yesterday as well, and I actually would highly suggest that, again, for this viewer audience, question everything, but also focus in locally. Go back into your local news media because there are, and actually, if you guys want to have a great conversation, reach out to Scott Robertson at Robertson.com. He is a phenomenal PR person. He's an expert in the media. Highly recommend just having a conversation with him. But there are six major outlets that control all of the world's media. And when you have that few people with that much control, it's a scary place to be. And not everyone has, it's no longer reporting against the news that says, or reporting the news in a way that says, this happened. It is, this happened in this way, and this happened in this way. And nothing is black and white anymore. And it's important for us to be able to have the tools in our tool belt to go back through and figure out in all the gray area that's being pitched to us in every news story that we see, especially with free media, so much of our content is free. You don't get the newspaper delivered on your front porch anymore. You don't see as much of the digital subscriptions of things because everything is reported out on social media and it's free on Google, and the free market for media, it's really great for convenience, but it's also very easy to dissipate fact and true reporting into garbage. And it's really important for people in general to be able to discern for themselves what is and isn't garbage at all.
Yeah, that was an interesting talk, and that idea was first really brought home to me in the first Plandemic movie, which we're about to go in within the hour to the premiere, the world premiere of Plandemic the musical here. And the first Plandemic movie where Mickey had the screens where he showed one reporter saying something and then it splits and you see reporters basically all over the country saying exactly the same words, exactly the same language, and that's been parsed out by those six companies distributed so that you're getting the same message from every direction, and it's all been orchestrated to control people's minds. So yes, that exchange of free exchange of ideas in the media marketplace, we need to return to that and more local media as well.
Definitely putting back, but really question everything. Question even your own beliefs. Question your own beliefs. You know, why do I stand for the things that I stand for? And do the research. And it's when choosing a business, when choosing someone to do business with, figure out why are they more appealing than somebody else. You know, there's so much option out
It's
there.
been interesting. I was at dinner with a friend of mine recently, and she said, "I don't know what to believe about anything anymore." And she picked up a sugar packet and she was looking at it and she said, "I have to question everything. Like, is this really sugar? Where did it come from? What's really in here?" And that's kind of where we're at
It
because
is.
we've been indoctrinated for all of our lives and we didn't even know that we were being indoctrinated. And so that's the bigger discussion. But along the way, having a platform where everyone is welcome as long as they're not doing something that's illegal
And no pornography.
and no pornography, where we can start to go back to the free exchange of ideas and where businesses that are launching, whether they be in a parallel economy or whatever economy that they be in, that they have a way to know that their message isn't going to be canceled. It's the can't we're canceling cancel culture.
Yes, I love that.
Well, any final words, or do we feel like we've covered the
I
key
feel
points?
like we've covered the key points, but I suppose I should do the little sales pitch. That's got to be obligatory.
Go for it.
I would anyone who wants or is interested in learning more about Patmos wants to have a conversation about migrating to the island of digital exile, or if you have been digitally exiled, my goodness, let me start there. If you have been digitally exiled, if you're worried about cancellation, if you just want some really great service at really great prices, I would love to be able to meet with you. Give us a visit at our website, www.patmos.tech, or patmoshosting.com will also get you there. Our sales team or myself, if you guys want to talk to me directly, I'd love to have a conversation.